I see it. There are two kinds of chaos. The kind you know that's coming, and the kind you don't. I love the kind of chaos you know is coming. It's like being on a roller coaster, or better yet, being in line for a roller coaster. Or like in my case, adopting one of the highest energy breed dogs and then promptly starting a family. Or like being in a Jeep with the top down, you're out on country roads, every bump is jolting your system with excitement, the energy, the music's on as loud as it can go. I love that kind of chaos. But then there's this other kind, the kind that smacks you upside the head when you least see it coming, the one whose end is not in sight, whose outcome is not yet known. The kind that could kill you. That one has its own sort of thrill, like a true test of self. Will I fight or will I flee? How much can I handle? Who's gonna stick this out with me? Do I really believe in God? This kind of chaos is far less romantic. And the consequences can be devastating. But whatever the type, chaos necessitates waiting. Because typically, chaos isn't a sustainable state of being. When we're in the midst of chaos, we're usually waiting for it to pass, waiting out the storm to assess the wreckage. The pronunciation made by the angel Gabriel to Mary falls into this latter kind of chaos, the kind you don't see coming. It seems to me that Mary could have had no idea what would be on the other side of this news, be it joy or suffering. We have record of her being elated in song, but I can't imagine that was the whole picture. Theologically, it's what the writer of Luke wants us to understand about this story. But the idea of convincing your peers and your partner that you are a pregnant virgin doesn't sound like a fun task. Furthermore, being told that your child would be the Son of God sounds like it will necessarily come with some hardships and some things you don't expect, which it most definitely did. But what we see of the way God acted in this story and Mary's response to the chaos that Gabriel dropped, this is a way of being, and not just a season of the year. Advent, as I've come to learn from you all in the last few years, is about waiting. But waiting for what? Well, we're supposed to be waiting for the hope of Christ, born into the world, the advent of healing and wholeness for ourselves and for our systems. But I think we get this all mixed up in the other kinds of waiting we're doing in this season. A gift we're excited to give or get, for the craziness of this season to just end, or to arrive safely Christmas morning at our destination. That's to say, we don't always approach the month of December with a Gabriel-sized bit of chaos in our pockets. But that's okay. We say ours is a religious practice, but for what are we practicing? In Advent, we're practicing for the day when our privilege of control is taken from us. When that chaos comes that we don't see coming. And when it comes, and it will, we can carry with us in our memory, what we practice and absorb with great attention in this season of Advent. The church calendar isn't set so that we would perform, but so that we would be transformed. The story we read in Luke, the one of Mary's response to being told by the angel Gabriel that she's going to have a child, and the story of God's presence with her, is the story of waiting in true chaos. I think in order to do right by the passage we read this morning, though, we actually need to go look back on verse 5 in Luke chapter 1. Here's what happened. In verse 5, we're introduced to this older priest named Zechariah. We're told that his wife is barren and that both he and his wife were living righteously, blamelessly, according to the commandments of God. In his role as priest, Zechariah was up for offering incense to the Lord. So he goes into the sanctuary to do his priestly duty when an angel, Gabriel, comes to him. Zechariah is noted to be, remember this, terrified, and fear overwhelmed him. So the angel Gabriel says, "Do not be afraid, that his prayers have been answered. His wife is going to bear a son." And then Zechariah opens his mouth and says, "How will I know that this is so?" With that, Gabriel says, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and bring you this good news, but now, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time, you will become mute, unable to speak, until the day these things occur." And so it was. So that's how that went. Now, flash forward to our story. Same Gabriel, same miracle. But this time, we've got Mary, described as a virgin engaged to be married to a man named Joseph. Great description. So Gabriel approaches her, but Mary is said to be, pay attention, much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. You might remember that Zechariah was terrified and fear overwhelmed him. Gabriel goes on to give her a very similar script, including the "do not be afraid," yada, yada, yada. Just the specifics about the son are different, obviously. But then we get to Mary's response. Mary says, in response to being told that she is pregnant, miraculously, like right now, "How can this be? For I am a virgin." In other words, "Sure, I'm pregnant, but how did it happen?" I'd like to hold these two responses side by side, which I think we're totally allowed to do, because Elizabeth does it in our passage this morning. When Mary goes to visit Elizabeth, and Elizabeth says, "Blessed are you for believing," which is like saying, "Dang girl, good on you. You believe that crazy story, and look what happened to my husband when he didn't." Zechariah says, "How will I know that this is so? I don't believe it. What's the proof?" Mary says, "How can this be? Sure. But by what method?" Zechariah, full of fear and wanting proof, is muted. Mary, pondering, receives this news, asks how it will play out, and sings. Zechariah is muted while Mary sings. Feel the need to reflect on Mary's response. I mean, what makes a person respond to chaos with curiosity and wonder? It's either desperation or some kind of profound humility and trust. I imagine Mary had a little bit of both. But what I think we can learn from Mary is the humility of reception. We learn from her the humility to host, to receive this holy chaos so much so that she was willing to give of her life, her social reputation, and her actual body. And her trust that no matter the outcome, she would be held and known by God. And so then the bravery to enter into whatever her life was going to hand her. And that's what we see in this story today. God was present. Mary's waiting was literally held by the presence of God in her body. But to be clear, Zechariah still receives the promise God made. But the quality of his waiting was very different. Advent is a season when we are waiting for something that typically produces joy on the other end. But in our lives, not all waiting ends in joy. Sometimes it ends in hardship or simply relief. But the question we have before us is, how will we respond? How will we wait when we have been stripped of the privilege of control? And how much does our privilege, our control, prevent us from experiencing God's presence? What are you waiting for? What kind of chaos awaits you? Maybe it's for a child to come home, for a partnership to mend, for a spouse, for a breath of air, for a financial breakthrough, for a diagnosis. These are your Advents. Let this day, this last day of this church season, sink into your skin, into your bones, so that in your waiting, your Advent can, instead of fear and overwhelm, be full of the presence and wonder of God and full of life.